Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, as we continue in our series in Luke, where we continue to behold God's redeeming grace in Jesus Christ, and where we find these words of our loving Lord. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. By the grace of your Holy Spirit, grant us the faith of Zacchaeus to see your Son, joyfully receive him by faith, abide in him, and live for him. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as we saw last week, and as Kenneth already reminded us this morning, Jesus had set his face to go up to Jerusalem, where he would offer himself as the sacrifice for our sins. He was now making his way up to Jerusalem through Jericho. As he was approaching Jericho, as we saw last week, he healed a blind beggar who had called out to him persistently in spite of the crowd's opposition to him. He had cried out persistently saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus healed him, this man, whose name was Bartimaeus, or son of honor, began to follow Jesus as his disciple, giving glory to God for all that Jesus had done for him. Now, as Jesus has entered Jericho and was passing through it, he encounters not a poor beggar, but rather a chief tax collector who was rich. Jesus is not a respecter of persons. He cares not so much about how much money you have. He does care about what we do with our possessions, as we will see in our passage this morning, as we saw with the rich young ruler. But he cares not so much about how many possessions you have, but rather about who has your heart, who possesses your heart. He cares about your heart, because everything flows from there. Luke shows us here, by including these encounters, placing them one after the other, the two men of Jericho, he shows us that Jesus shows mercy to all kinds of people. And all kinds of people joyfully receive Jesus as Savior and Lord to the transformation of their life and indeed their families. So let's consider Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus under two headings this morning. First, Zacchaeus' faith in Jesus. And second, Zacchaeus' repentance, which flowed from his heart of love for Jesus. First, Zacchaeus' faith in Jesus. As Luke emphasized, Zacchaeus was very different from Bartimaeus in that he was rich. He had gotten rich because he was a chief tax collector. Jericho was home of one of the three main tax offices in Palestine. The other two were in Caesarea and Capernaum. Jericho was located along a popular trade route, and taxes were collected on the goods that were passed through there. So as a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus was in a prime location for making lots of money. As we have discussed, the Jews despised their fellow Jews like Zacchaeus, who had become tax collectors, working for the Roman government and collecting Roman taxes from their Jewish kinsmen. They would often impose higher taxes than what the Roman state actually required, and they got to keep the extra. It's a pretty good deal for them. This provided them with a very lucrative career. Zacchaeus was a chief collector, meaning that not only that he oversaw other tax collectors on Rome's behalf, he also likely got a cut of their profits. So he had multiple income streams, did Zacchaeus, through this relationship with the Roman state. He was rich indeed. But this man, despised by his kindred and rich to the gills, heard that Jesus was passing through Jericho. Perhaps he had heard about how Jesus had befriended and shown mercy to other tax collectors, how he had chosen as one of his disciples, Matthew, a tax collector. Whatever the case, he wanted to see Jesus, but the crowd was too great and he was too small in stature to peek over the crowd and see him. So he took off running and he climbed up into a sycamore tree up ahead of the crowd to see Jesus pass by. As an aside, some of you I think have been to Jericho and you will know that there is a tree there that is a popular tourist destination called Zacchaeus's sycamore tree, and some testing has been done on it that seems to indicate that the tree, it could be more than 2,000 years old. And so people go and still see this tree. Maybe it's not the tree. There's actually an Orthodox church nearby where there's a stump, and they claim that this is actually the original tree, but there's an encased, a glass encased stump, and they lay claim to that sycamore tree. Whatever the case, Zacchaeus climbed up in this sycamore tree because he was set on seeing Jesus. Reminds you of Bartimaeus again, doesn't it? A poor man who was absolutely persistent in calling out to Jesus. Here you have a rich man who is persistent in wanting to see Jesus. When Jesus saw him, Jesus stopped and called him by name. Isn't that wonderful? He called him by name. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus knows each and every one of us by name. He knows each and every one of us by name. He knows our background. He knows our circumstances. He knows all of our needs. He loves us and he knows us and he calls us by name. John 10:3 tells us that as the good shepherd, Jesus calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's his love for you. And that was his love for Zacchaeus. Here he called one of his sheep by name. looking up to him as he was perched in that sycamore tree, saying, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down here, for I must stay at your house today." This is one of those powerful must statements in the Gospel of Luke. We've highlighted them throughout our series. In Luke chapter 2, when Mary and Joseph were searching frantically for the 12-year-old Jesus and found him in the temple, Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And at the beginning of his public ministry in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God." And in Luke chapter 9, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected and be killed and on the third day be raised." So these were part and parcel of his mission. These things were his mission, to fulfill the Father's will for him and to save you and me. And coming to Zacchaeus' house was part of his mission. Why? Because he came to seek and to save the lost. Here he says to Zacchaeus, "I must stay at your house today." Could be translated, "I must abide at your house today." It is the same language Jesus famously used in John 15 when he spoke of himself as the true life-giving vine and his disciples as the branches of that vine. He said, "Abide in me and I in you. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." So along the same lines, Jesus was not saying that he, to Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house because I need a place to stay. That's not all he was saying here. No, he was saying, "I must abide at your house today because you need me, Zacchaeus. You need me to come and abide with you. You need a relationship with me. You need to get to know me and my grace and my Father's love and what it means for us to come and stay, that is, abide in you by the Holy Spirit as you receive me by faith." And Zacchaeus did receive him by faith. Luke said in verse 6, "So he hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully." Jesus went on in that abiding passage in John 15 to say, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." As Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his home and into his heart, that joy began to dawn in his life. The joy of sins forgiven. The joy of the Father's adopting love. The joy of Jesus' forgiveness and presence and grace. The joy of the Holy Spirit living inside of him. But, there always seems to be a but in the Gospels relative to joy, right? We've seen this. But, as we have seen in our study of Luke's Gospel, grumblers gotta grumble. That's just what they do. Grumble. What do grumblers do? They grumble, right? It really makes no difference the circumstance. Grumblers gotta grumble. That's what they do. The crowd, which no doubt included those rascally Pharisees, grumbled and said in verse 7, "Jesus has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." But in their grumbling, once again, they inadvertently preached the gospel. They just can't help themselves. they inadvertently preach the gospel once again that Jesus comes in and abides with sinners and calls them his saints, calls them his brothers and sisters, adopted by his Father. He calls them eventually the temple of the Holy Spirit. He claims them for his own. He comes to sinners and shows them the marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. They're saying, this man is a great sinner. Jesus says, my grace is greater still. No sin can trump my grace. My grace is greater still. What made Zacchaeus different from those who were grumbling about him? They were all sinners. The difference is Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner, confessed he was a sinner, and knew he needed mercy and looked to Jesus for mercy. So he received Jesus joyfully into his home and into his heart. So first, Zacchaeus' joyful, excited, eager faith in Jesus. And second, Zacchaeus' repentance, which flowed from his love for Jesus. With Jesus now in his home and in his heart, Zacchaeus expressed his joyful faith in Jesus through genuine, heartfelt repentance. Very practical, tangible, recognizable repentance. He said to Jesus in verse 8, behold, Lord, he's trusting in Jesus not only as his Savior, but as his Lord, his Master. He wants to follow him in faithfulness. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, implication being he has, he's a tax collector, I restore it fourfold. Zacchaeus expressed his faith in Jesus and love for Jesus by repenting to Jesus and declaring what he would do in love for others, especially those in need and those whom he had sinned against, those whom he had defrauded. The generosity of God's grace revealed in Jesus had entered Zacchaeus' heart. So Zacchaeus' once greedy heart was all of a sudden starting to become a giving heart. He cared about the poor and was giving half of his great wealth to them. And to those he had defrauded, he was going to restore what he had taken fourfold. Under Old Testament law, some cases of theft required full restitution plus one-fifth of what had been taken on top of that. In other cases, the law required you give back double what you had taken. But Zacchaeus did not merely do what the letter of the law demanded. It's a wonderful reminder to us that the law makes demands, but it does not empower you. It does not change your heart such that you really, from your heart, want to meet those demands or the principles behind those demands. Only grace can change the human heart. And so by grace, Zacchaeus actually went above what the law demanded. Not in a saving way, not to try to save himself, but because the love of Jesus, the generosity of God in Christ was now gripping his heart, and out of gratitude for God's grace to him, he wanted to show generosity to others. He wanted to make things right, but he wanted to show generosity now to others. Let's say, just for the sake of an example, let's say that you owed the Roman government $1,000 in taxes. But Zacchaeus had told you, when he was doing his tax collector thing, that you owed $1,250. So you gave him $1,250, and he pocketed $250. Now, having been touched by the generous grace of Jesus, Zacchaeus comes back to you. And you're like, what do you want now, Zacchaeus? And he says, I want to make things right with you. But rather than making things right by paying you back, just paying you back the $250, or paying you back $250 plus one-fifth, in other words, $300, or paying you back double and giving you $500, he pays you back fourfold. He gives you $1,000. And you're thinking, what has happened to Zacchaeus? Well, the answer is grace. Jesus Christ has come into his life. He joyfully received Jesus Christ into his life. His repentance gave evidence of the reality of his faith in Jesus, and thus his eternal salvation. Thus Jesus said to him in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The people in the crowd, including the Pharisees who grumbled about Jesus spending time with this man, did not see themselves as lost sinners in need of Jesus' seeking and saving grace. They viewed themselves as sons of Abraham who were A-OK with God on that basis. But Jesus said here that a true son of Abraham is not just one physically, he is one spiritually. As St. Paul said in our epistle reading from Galatians chapter 3, it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And irony of ironies, Zacchaeus, who was despised as an unrighteous sinner by those who were self-righteous, his name means righteous. And he was declared righteous that day through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God was given to him. For Christ was on his way where? To Jerusalem, where God would make him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Zacchaeus was declared righteous. He was declared Zacchaeus that day, through his faith in Jesus. Is your faith in Jesus today? Are you inspired by the faith of Zacchaeus? Do you see the connection in Zacchaeus' life between faith and repentance? Genuine faith in Jesus is expressed through practical daily repentance towards him and towards those whom he places in our lives, those whom we sin against. So let us follow in the footsteps of this wee little man who had great faith and took giant steps of repentance out of love for the Savior who loved him so much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.